Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Oh, it's lovely to be here, isn't it? We're alive. We're well. The air's still in our lungs, just about. And we're here. And we are rejoicing in Jesus today. A few years ago, the Episcopal Church in America revised their prayer book. And they changed some of the liturgy. And some people loved it, some people hated it. A lady wrote to the chairman of the review committee of the prayer book, and she was outraged with what a mess they'd made of it. And in one of the lines in the letter she wrote to the chairman of the review committee, she said, if Jesus could see what you've done with this liturgy, he'd turn in his grave. To which they replied, That's one issue we're not going to have to worry about today. So today we celebrate Jesus risen, and we are focusing today on him being the king. We've heard today about his reign and his rule. And I'd love us to look at that as we think about coronating our king, King Charles, in just under a month's time. A new reign. He'll be anointed as king. What will his reign entail? What will history remember King Charles for? What will be the controversies? What will be the things that we celebrate and remember? Well, if there was a manifesto for Jesus' reign, it's right here in 1 Corinthians 15. And the amazing thing about Jesus' reign is he sets it out pretty much categorically right from the start. And so let's pray, and then let's look at Jesus' reign together. Lord Jesus, we rejoice that you are alive. And because you are alive, we will be alive through this life and into eternity. And we praise you, Lord. Please come and bring us hope today. We ask in your name. Amen. I just want to focus really on one verse from this passage, verse 25. Paul writes, he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. He must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. And so we look at the reign of King Jesus. First of all, we would say of his reign that it is a victorious reign. Leslie Newbegin, the missionary and bishop, said this of the resurrection: the resurrection is not the reversal of a defeat, but the proclamation of a victory. From the outset, God's plan for humanity was not some reaction to a wayward Adam and Eve. It was a proclamation of victory that God is in charge. God made this earth. He rules supreme over it. And through Jesus, he proclaims his victory over us and all humanity. In his very first act, Jesus creates a new humanity in his resurrected form. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive, but each in his turn. Jesus has created a new humanity. Rowan Williams, I think I quote this every Easter, but I just think it's a really helpful quote. Rowan Williams, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, said, the resurrection is such a significant event. It's like the Big Bang. He creates humanity again in himself, where death is not the end. We're made of new substance, new material that will live on into eternity. Still with our old, but he creates something new within it. And in this victorious reign, where his first act is to give humanity a new body, a new life, a new construct that will go on forever, he's committed to nothing less than total victory. He must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. And that battle goes on, and hour by hour, and day by day, and week by week, Jesus is putting all things that stand opposed to God under his feet. He's claiming ground every minute of every day, restoring and reviving and bringing life to that which is dead. And he will not stop. And he'll only stop when everything is submitted. And yet we do have a last enemy. The last enemy to be destroyed is death itself. And this is a conundrum, isn't it? I find Easter Sunday, particularly this year, maybe more than any other year, I find it a conundrum, because as we rejoice in Jesus being alive, I look at these beautiful ribbons where folks in our church write the names of those who we love, who have left us and have passed on. And here's the conundrum of Easter Day. I've sat and I read these ribbons. I know some of these people. I know of and I've heard wonderful things of some of these people. But they are dead. And this is the last enemy, isn't it? Death. Our hope is that we will all rise again. Of that there is no doubt. Jesus has proved it himself. He's not just talking a good game. He's done it. But death is still here, and the fear of death is still here, and the pain and the separation of death is still here. And so today, on one hand, there can be an over-enthusiasm, can't there, an exuberance that death has been defeated, and yet we still live with it. There's that pain, isn't there, within us, that we have a hope, but there is a reality that we continue to face, that death is still an enemy for humanity. It doesn't go away. And yet Paul can write so confidently a few verses later, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting? It has been utterly defeated." One day, like ticker tape, we'll see these ribbons shredded, and they'll drop down from this church, because those who we remember will live again. There's no doubt at all. We will all live again. It's a victorious reign. It's also a present reign. It's not distant. It's not for the future. While I talk about a time when those we love will be restored and return to us, and we will join them as we join our Father, it's happening right now. He must reign until he's put all his enemies under his feet. The until suggests very clearly that reign is happening right now. It's not something in the future. One day he will come. One day he will return. One day he will make a difference. He is reigning right now until all his enemies are put under his feet. It's present and it's active, not passive and distant. It starts with the resurrection and it carries on to bring all dominion, authority, and power under his feet. And he will not stop until it is complete. And then the end will come. No war, no act of humanity will bring the end of time. It'll be when Christ has defeated all that stands against God. The loving, forgiving, self-giving, generous, joyful, patient, gentle, peaceful, humble, generous God. He will choose when that time comes. In the words of John Piper, an American theologian, "There is no disease, no addiction, no demon, no bad habit, no fault, no vice, no weakness, no bad temper, no moodiness, no pride, no self-pity, no strife, no jealousy, no perversion, no greed, no laziness, that Christ does not aim to overcome as the enemy of his honor. There is nothing that we battle and wrestle with that will not be overcome in Christ. And John Piper goes on to say, and that's the encouragement, that when you set yourself to do battle with the enemies of your faith and holiness, you will not fight alone. God is with us, and he will continue to be with us, and he will continue to bring battle and the things that we do battle with in our lives until they're all under his feet. They've all been defeated, and we are free people. And then finally, it's a victorious reign. It's a present reign. Finally, it's a purposeful reign. He must reign until all his enemies have been put under his feet. Why must he reign until then? Well, it goes on to say in verse 27, for God has put all things in subjection to his feet. He must reign because it's his Father's will that he will reign. His Father's will is that Jesus will reign over all things until that point when everything is subjected to Jesus. He is king over all. And then Jesus will hand the kingdom back to his Father. And Paul concludes, and God may be all in all. And so today we celebrate that Jesus uses his authority, his reign, his power to save every person, redeem a people for himself from every tribe and tongue and nation in the world. He reigns so that he can defeat the enemies of God. And finally, he reigns so that he will bring it all back to his Father as a gift, so that God will receive all the glory. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And at that point when everything is done, the Bible tells us this is what happens. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And so today, as we celebrate Jesus rising, we recognize his victorious reign, his present and active reign, and his purposeful reign to bring all things under his feet. And for us today, whether you stand in front of an open tomb and you celebrate and you rejoice, or you find yourself hiding behind closed doors in fear of the future, Christ reigns supreme over your life, and he will bring all of your enemies under his feet so that you will be free and we will be free. And this town and this country and this world will be free under the perfect, eternal reign of God the Father, who gave everything so that we could know him and be free. Amen.